Hi, everybody. I'm Leah. I'm a sex love porn addict.
Leah.
Thank you all for having me. I mainly attend meetings on the east side, so this is way out of my normal routine, but it's really lovely. I'm actually quite surprised to see how big this meeting is. It's really cool. So I guess I'll just start by sharing a little bit about my life and how I came to be the addict that I am and how the program has helped me live with that. So I was born and raised here in Southern California all my life, and I have two lovely parents and an older brother. And we are, on the outside, a picture-perfect family. On the inside, we're, you know, a little bit of a mess. I'm sure a lot of you can relate. I grew up in a very Christian household. My parents are very Christian. I was placed in private schools all my life. I never really felt at home there. It just didn't really align with the way that I lived my life. But, you know, that's kind of the way they wanted me to live my life. Mm-hmm. I also grew up in an age where the internet was brand new and people were starting to get like computers at home, and it was like a very brand new thing to a lot of people and to a lot of kids. And so there would always be conversations about, you know, when you go to school, they'd be like, oh, go home and Google this and Google that, and you know, it wasn't educational stuff, that's for sure. But I guess I'll keep this short-ish because I know I only have 10 minutes, but it's hard to pack your life into 10 minutes. I was born with a twin sister. We were inseparable, but around the age of 12, she got sick. She was originally diagnosed with strep throat, and within a matter of 24 hours, she was then diagnosed with a rare pediatric brain tumor. Mm-hmm. And then within the next 24 hours, she was on life support. It was something that none of us saw coming, even though for the rest of our lives, we would rethink that. If it was something we could have prevented, but the only way to cope with that is to just believe that God had a plan, right? After my sister passed away, I mean, that's kind of a loss that no one really prepares you for. It's not something that people talk about, and it's hard. Grief is hard, and no parent should ever lose their child, and no twin should ever lose their other half. And my parents being, you know, they did the best that they could. It's their first time living. I've accepted that. Mm-hmm. And they coped in their own ways, and maybe it wasn't the healthiest, but they did their best. But unfortunately, that was kind of shutting down. I mean, it's hard. I can't imagine what it's like for parents to have to look at one child with the same face of the one that they just lost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was very neglected. And, you know, today I can say that's okay. But as a child, you know, I built a lot of resentment. I built a lot of sadness. And I found ways to cope with that. And a lot of that ways ties back into growing up in a time where internet was very big. And so I turned to pornography. That's a really big part of my story because I was so incredibly young. I didn't know how to deal with anger and sadness. No one ever taught me. And my parents don't believe in therapy. They come from immigrant families. If some people can relate, you don't talk about your feelings. You're not allowed to have feelings, really. And if you show feelings, you're crazy, or you're sick, or you're mentally ill. And that's just the way that they were raised. And I can't, I can't hold that against them. But yeah, a lot of my coping was with pornography, Five, thank you. And as I moved through life and through high school and college, and I started to develop and get older, I started to use people because I was like, oh, this is more accessible, this is easier, I can just, you know, manipulate and lie to people and just get what I want from them, and once I get that, I'm good. I've satisfied myself, and that's just kind of the way that I moved through life, was just, you know, I wasn't a big relationship person, I was just kind of like a one-hit wonder. I just, you know, met someone and then moved on. And it wasn't healthy, and the relationships that I did have in my life, I was a serial cheater because I couldn't, if there was moments in our relationships that even triggered me to be sad or angry or upset, I didn't know how to communicate that because I was never taught. And the only way that I was taught was how I taught myself, and that was to act out. And I hurt a lot of people, and you know, I've done my amends to them, and they were beautiful amends, and those people really accepted me and saw the love that I had for them and knew I was sick, and I'm very grateful that they were so good. And then I, you know, the last relationship that I was in, it was about 2 years ago, it ended with the other person ending things because I was just a sick person and they couldn't be with a sick person. And that breakup really sent me spiraling. It destroyed me. It made me want to kill myself. And I've never in my life wanted to end my life, even after my sister passed away. And that was like a huge loss to me. And that's when I finally sat down and was like, if I didn't even want to end my life after I lost my best friend, how did I end up here where I gave someone else so much power that they get to determine whether I live my life because they're not in my life anymore? And so then I was desperate. I needed help. And I went straight to therapy and I begged my therapist. I said, I want to live. I don't want to feel this way anymore. I need help. And for a year, she listened to me talk about my ex, God bless her, and she also, you know, paused me at one point and said, look, can I ask you a quick 40 questions? And again, God bless her. So here I am today. She introduced me to the program. She recommended it. She said, you don't have to stay, but go to one meeting. And of course, I mean, if you have more than a few months in here, you know that first meeting, you're home. Mm-hmm. And this is the place for you. And I'd like to say the rest is history too, thank you. But you know, it took me a long time to get here. I'm 2 years in. I went through an 8-month withdrawal. The withdrawal process is so important. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're holding on to, let it go. It's not easy, it is painful, it is debilitating, but let it go. And when you let it go, hold on to what you have, which is the people in this room. Hold their hands, you know, hold them close, because you cannot do this alone. And I've learned that, as much as I would have loved to just stay in bed and cry for months and months, I kept showing up, and instead I cried in these rooms. Strangers saw me bawl my eyes out for a good year. And now I get to see other people cry their eyes out and think, oh, that's not me anymore. But it was, and it's beautiful, because what a beautiful thing to come into these rooms, one, thank you, with such raw emotion and not be judged for it, not be shamed for it. And that showed me that all these people in my life now, today, who can show up for me without shame, without judgment, without hate, I can give that back to myself. Because they were able to carry all those emotions for me for so long that I was able to take it out of their hands and start to give it to myself today. And now I love myself. This is a program about self-love. It's a program about learning to deal with your addiction and cope with it in healthier ways and breaking those patterns. I mean, and the cure is just to keep showing up. But that's the medicine, is to keep showing up in the rooms, keep sharing, keep talking about it, grab a fellow's number, talk after a meeting, go to fellowship, and you'll learn over and over. And, you know, if you didn't hear anything that aligned with you today, I encourage you to keep coming back. Thank you. And thank you for letting me be here today.